Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson we read a few moments ago. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself to them in this way. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus, on Easter morning, kept his promise. And he did what no one in all of human history has ever done before or since. He raised himself from the dead. And of course, he made a lot of appearances for 40 days after that momentous event. And his disciples, gave his disciples a chance to let this glorious truth sink in, that he who was dead was now alive, that Christ who was crucified had risen from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus, of course, is always with us. We know through his Holy Spirit, he dwells in our hearts. A lot of times, though, he chooses where, when, and how he makes his presence actually known to his followers. He often reveals to himself to us in places, ways, and times we absolutely don't expect. And yet we please the Lord when we trust in his promises and we walk by faith, not by sight. That is to say, we have to recognize the risen Redeemer where he promises to reveal himself. Because Christ has risen from the dead. As the different appearances of Christ after the resurrection prove it. The disciples' witness afterwards is where we get, where we find out what Jesus has done. I mean, the four Gospels, those are the eyewitness accounts of his apostles. John, of course, is the beloved disciple that's talked about in our gospel reading today. But it's all founded on what the Hebrew scriptures actually say. The Old Testament actually predicted, they declared that it would indeed happen. If you read through Isaiah 53, it tells us indeed that he would rise from the dead. And Jesus, of course, in his Gospels, we read over, I think he said, he told him at least three times that he was going to rise from the dead. He goes, we're going up to Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man will suffer many things, and on the third, and he will die, and on the third day he will rise again. He said it to him over and over again. And even before our text today, Jesus had already appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. It already, at least three times, actually multiple times, we see him. He appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, right? And then later that day to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He appears to all of them there in the upper room that first Sunday, the day of the resurrection in the evening. And then a week later, he appears and tells Thomas, touch my finger. Touch my hands. Put your hand in my side. So multiple times he appears to the disciples. And later on, and in John chapter 20, in the chapter just before this, in one of the appearances, he actually breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. And he commissions them as witnesses of the resurrection. Even in the first chapter of Acts, just before he ascends into heaven, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and throughout the whole world. So he commissions them over. All these times, he appears to them. He reveals himself to them. And then, of course, we know that our risen Redeemer actually promised to reveal himself to his followers. Besides these appearances in Jerusalem, he promised at least one more appearance before ascending into heaven. So the disciples are there in Galilee. He says, he actually instructed them, go to Galilee, I'll appear to you, I'll come to you there. They're in Galilee because Jesus actually promised he would meet them there. He would reveal himself there. But he didn't exactly say when. So they're on the Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. They had to wait and watch for him. And let's face it, waiting for Jesus has its challenges. My mother always used to say, don't ever pray for patience, because God will give you something to try it. And a really close friend of mine always said, you know, hey, don't ever pray for patience. He said, I never pray for patience because I'm afraid God will make me wait for it. So, waiting and watching has its challenges, because we have to fight that temptation while we're waiting to become weary of the waiting, to become tired of doing the good things that God has given us to do. I mean, Jesus even gives us the parable of the 10 virgins, where, you know, there's 10 of them waiting for the master to come, the bridegroom to come, and then one of them isn't prepared, and she doesn't have enough oil for her lamps, so she goes off, because her lamp has gone out, to get some more oil, and while she's gone, the master comes, the bridegroom comes, and everybody enters. We can't become weary in watching and waiting. We can't be caught napping. And we have to use the interval between when Jesus promises to come and when he actually comes. He wants us to indeed use it profitably. Again, Jesus tells us the story, the parable of the tenants, where, you know, one is given one coin, or, you know, and told to go and take care of it. One's given 10, and one's given 100, and the person with one coin doesn't do anything but bury it in the backyard. He wants us to use our time profitably. And of course, we also don't want to second guess God about when he actually determines and allows, what he determines, or what he does in our lives or in the lives of others. Peter, I don't know if you'll if you remember the story in verses 20 through 23, which is after this reading. Peter looks over and says, well, what about him? Talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. He points to him, what about John? And Jesus says, don't you worry about John. Don't worry about him. What does it matter if I want him to live forever? Don't get nosy about what's going on in other people's lives, is pretty much what he's saying. What I'm doing there is not your affair. But be concerned about what I'm doing with you. And Paul tells us over and over again what we are to be doing, the good works we are to be doing in our lives. And one of those things is to encourage one another, to lift one another up in this time of waiting. Because I'm not just talking about the time between Jesus rose from the dead and when the disciples are there in Galilee waiting for him. I'm also talking about the time between when Jesus ascended into heaven and now. We're supposed to be busy doing the good works of God. Those are the things that Christ gives us to do. And while we're waiting, we need to encourage one another and not become weary. First Peter, I'll never forget, one of the verses that always comes to my mind when we talk about the waiting time. 1 Peter says, dear friends, he is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, understand that he is patient with us, wanting as many to be saved as possible. That our Lord is patient with us. It's not that he's, you know, he's waiting, you know, that he's slow in keeping his promises. It's just that he wants as many to be saved as possible. And so that's what God does in our lives. The real question, of course, using this interval profitably and not second-guessing God and encouraging one another, is the question is, will you and I recognize our risen Redeemer where he promises to reveal himself? As I said, the disciples are there in Galilee at the Sea of Tiberias. What are they doing? They're standing around, and Simon Peter finally says, I'm going fishing. Because apparently, that's what he does. He's a fisherman. Remember, that's what he was at the beginning. James and John are fishermen. All the rest that were there, well, they're like, okay, let's go. And so they go, and they catch all these fish because Jesus is standing on the shore while they're fishing. They're using their time profitably. They're waiting, and if you know, that's one of those things. Well, if nothing else, just go fishing. I'm kidding. But our Lord uses them, and then he instructs them, and specifically Peter. After all this is done, he brings Peter to the side because Peter has denied him three times. And he takes Peter to the side and says, this is what I want you to do. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. And Peter, it's often that section of Scripture is often called the restoration of Peter. After his denial, he's now restored and given the commission to feed the Lord's sheep, to tend his lambs, to take care of us. Those are the things that Jesus intended to do in revealing himself there. So what about us? When our risen Redeemer promises to reveal himself, where does he promise to reveal himself? Notice when they were in the boat, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus at first. He says, you know, little children, although this is translated differently, the word that's translated as children, he says, there's other ones, there's one translation that says lads. To me, it's like, hey guys, did you catch any fish? It's pretty much my, you know, Pastor Burton's paraphrase. And they said, no, so cast the net on the other side. And when they catch all these fish, finally, John, the one whom Jesus loved, jumps up and says, it's the Lord. They didn't recognize him at first. They didn't recognize him at first until he actually had duplicated this miracle from the beginning of their ministry when he calls them and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that's when they finally recognize him. The fact of the matter is Jesus' ways are not always our ways. They're way above ours. And the greatest example, of course, is the cross. Because you or I would never have figured out that the way to save you and me is by dying on a cross. God's ways, our Lord's ways, are way above ours. Jesus is both hidden and revealed. Jesus reveals himself. Luther actually says about the hidden things of Jesus, he says it this way. He says, what's above us is none of our business. It's pretty much it. What he's revealed to us is all. Jesus knows he wants and provides what is absolutely best for us. And we have confidence that the risen Redeemer actually does reveal himself to us, where he says he will reveal himself to us, in the means of grace, in his word, and in his sacraments. He comes to us in the waters of holy baptism, in his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And in his word, he reveals himself to us. See, it's of utmost importance that we recognize our risen Redeemer where he has promised to be found and not let Satan, the world, or our own sinful flesh obscure any of this. See, Jesus has provided and continues to provide for you and me what we need in order to have faith in his victory over death by his resurrection. He's equipped us for earthly lives that are worth living and that are capable of bringing glory to God and benefit to others. He promises blessing to those who follow and obey him. And while we wait for him to return and to bring his heavenly kingdom in all of its fullness, we can find him where he's promised us that he would be, in the means of grace, in his word, in his sacraments, in the promise of salvation and life everlasting that we find in his gospels, in the Lord's Supper, and in baptism. You see, it's there that we find the strength and the encouragement to continue on, to endure in this time of waiting until his glorious appearance to us, when he reveals himself on that last day. In his name, amen and amen. And now,